Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity of National Review is with us. He's joining us by cell phone, however, today. He's reluctantly helping to stimulate the economy. He joins us from a local auto repair shop. Jim, how are you today?
And I want to let everyone know this is not a result of terrible driving or recklessness or a demolition derby or anything. Just the usual check engine light is on. Routine issues. At least I'm hoping that's the case.
Ray LaHood wants to make sure you weren't texting while driving. I'm going to assume that's
exactly
the case.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
All right, on to our good, bad, and crazy martini, starting with the good. And yesterday we saw kind of the rejoining of this major debate down in the Texas state legislature, the bill to ban abortions after 5 months or 20 weeks, making sure abortion clinics are up to the same safety and sanitary standards as hospitals, the pro-choice movement apoplectic about this, and the protesters out in force again. They've postponed this special session, I believe, till July 9th now. Ultimately, it's certainly likely to pass. And the good news here, Jim, is that despite all the pontificating by Wendy Davis and all the others on the pro-abortion side of this debate, a new poll of Texans from the University of Texas and the Texas Tribune shows that people in the state, and I don't think this comes as a huge surprise, strongly in support of the law. 62% like it. 59% believe there should be a very, very good case for having an abortion. Only 36% believe that you should be able to have one for whatever reason you want. Even 39% of Democrats are in favor of this law. Republicans, of course, through the stratosphere in support of this. So I'm not sure what the liberals here are hoping to achieve, but it's good to know that the people of Texas and really people nationwide, it seems, are on the right side in this case.
It's worth noting that the Washington Post had the headline, "Why the second round of this fight is going to go differently than the first round." For whatever reason, Rick Perry and the Texas Republicans kind of botched the management of this. They introduced it right at the last session of the legislature, and I guess they were kind of caught flat-footed by the level of opposition. I understand Wendy Davis will not be filibustering this time around, so that aspect of the debate is off the table. A bit more specifically about this, you mentioned all the poll numbers. If they don't like this legislation and these types of regulations ensuring the health and sanitary safety of abortion clinics, what kind are they okay with? Basically, Democrats are pouring into a position where they have to say, well, look, technically, we support clean abortion clinics, but we don't want this law to go through because we think it's a backdoor way of banning abortions, et cetera, which I think is going to be a very tough position for them to hold in all of this. My guess is this may be a circumstance in which the media's traditional coverage on the Sunday shows, they're asking Wendy Davis about her shoes and stuff like that, all these, not even softball questions. Softballs are harder than that. I mean, we call them cream puff questions or puffball questions. Kind of blinds Democrats to the fact that public opinion views on this are not what the media's views are on this, in which all abortions are hunky-dory okay. You'd have to be some sort of unhinged extremist to object to this sort of thing. The mainline Democratic position on abortion is basically everything up to and including partial birth abortion is perfectly fine and okay, and if you want to restrict that at all, you're some sort of unhinged extremist. And that's simply not where public opinion is. I think it's not even common sense. So, potentially, you know, Democrats who were really feeling great about developments in Texas not too long ago may be seeing a very dramatic turn of events in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, certainly. And a couple points here. New polling, I believe, nationwide shows that the vast majority of Americans are opposed to any abortions in the second trimester, and 20 weeks is certainly well into the second trimester, so it's going to be hard to move public opinion on this. Secondly, those who claim that all but about 5 abortion clinics would close if this legislation passed, shouldn't that concern people about the conditions inside the rest of them?
Whatever your views on abortion, don't you want facilities to be sanitary and clean and up to snuff? Aren't we all trying to prevent more Gosnells? Apparently not, it would seem, Greg.
I guess not. So from horrors in abortion clinics to horrors elsewhere in the world for our bad martini, and that's in Syria with the unrest in Egypt. Who knows what's about to happen in that country as well. But the latest in Syria is that at least some of the rebels are beheading people, and in one case here, a Catholic priest, a 49-year-old Catholic priest, and basically there were folks on the sidelines just cheering as this happened in the streets of Syria. And Jim, we've talked about this before. We know there's a lot of bad people on every side of this fight in Syria. We certainly don't like the Iranian proxy Assad regime, but we also have a lot of radicals and jihadis in the rebellion here. And Allah Pundit over at hotair.com says he believes that those are the people, if the rebels win, will ultimately get control. So there's just a lot of badness going on in Syria altogether.
It is. Just when you think it can't possibly get worse, I could not bring myself to watch the video. He puts a link to it over on The Blaze. What's kind of striking about this is that I'm one of those folks who had argued for a long time that we did have two strategic interests in Syria. One was, to the extent possible, protect the civilians who are getting caught in the crossfire, a humanitarian interest, to avoid massacres where possible. At this point, the death toll in that country has just passed six figures, more than 100,000. And I believe there had to be some sort of consequence to the Assad regime using chemical weapons, the sarin gas that they have used on at least four occasions against the rebels. Well, now we've got a chemical weapon-using dictator taking on Catholic priests beheading jihadis. And I think, you know, even more, the public opinion is going to be seal off that country and let it burn to the ground. They don't think there's anybody good over there, and they don't think there's any good that can come from any type of U.S. intervention. As much as I sympathize with that viewpoint, and I respect that viewpoint, and the evidence is mounting towards that viewpoint, there are innocent civilians here, and my guess is that nothing is going to be done, either from us or from the international community or even from the regional allies. I think this place is a bloodbath, and it's only going to get worse in the coming months. It sounds like the Assad forces have launched a new offensive and are shelling certain neighborhoods outside Damascus. While the news coverage is dominated by the Zimmerman trial, and John Kerry is doing this ludicrous shuttle diplomacy between the Israelis and the Palestinians, not too far north of him, the Middle East is basically burning down, and we're seeing an all-out Sunni-Shia war basically going on in Syria. It is a very bad situation, and I get the feeling that the 3 a.m. phone call has now gone to the answering machine. Our voice mailbox is full from that 3 a.m. Phone call, and I just have a feeling only bad things are going to come out of this.
Yeah, it certainly looks bleak no matter what the outcome there, and no matter what the story is, you're just shaking your head, and that's about as bad of a martini as you can get. On to the third martini now, and after talking about late-term abortions and beheadings of priests, I think a little levity is in order, although it still will make you shake your head here in the crazy martini. This from CNSNews.com. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, Jim, awarding $167,650 in grants. Why? To increase participation in Washington, D.C. farmers markets. The two grants, which are part of the department's Farmers Market Promotion Program, and it's got an acronym, the FMPP, run from September of 2012 through September 2014. The grants include $94,000 to D.C. Greens Incorporated and $73,500 to the University of the District of Columbia. The goals are to increase customer participation in four farmers markets and to reach low-income and federal nutrition benefit recipients in the market neighborhoods with a targeted outreach. Yada, yada, yada. Jim, $167,000 to prop up four farmers markets, that doesn't seem like a real good bargain.
I'm a fan of farmers markets. They're good. There's one not far from my house, and we go there on weekends, and you can get your organic vegetables and all that good stuff. I would point out, and I have seen that apparently the Old Town Alexandria one, there are big signs promoting that they now take SNAP, supplemental nutrition, they now take food stamps, and that sort of thing. If you're on food stamps, I presume you are trying to watch your expenditures. You're trying to be careful about spending money because you're poor. Well, at least at the farmers markets I've been to, you can get fresh squeezed orange juice from anywhere. The small one is $4. The large one, which is only slightly larger, is $6. And Greg, I'm not kidding you when I say these glasses could be used for urine samples when you go to the doctor's office. These are not giant heming. So as much as I like fresh squeezed orange juice, the farmers markets have always struck me as a bit on the pricey side. And if we're really trying to take care of these people, yes, organic vegetables are terrific. You kind of wonder if it's kind of like encouraging folks on food stamps to go shop at Whole Foods or kind of the more expensive places. You kind of wonder if this is really such a good strategy here. And then regarding this, look, isn't the job of the farmers market to bring in customers? Why are federal taxpayer dollars being used to bring in customers? You need good stuff. You need good products, and then people will come and do it. So another example, the Department of Agriculture under Tom Vilsack just throwing around money, giving it to local allies and supporting special groups and friends and all that stuff. You really got to wonder, this is one of those things that, this is still going on under sequester, right? We can't have White House tours, but we can have, special funding for farmers markets in Washington, D.C. Another example of federal spending, you're looking at this the same. This cannot be the absolute best bang for the buck when it comes to helping the less fortunate.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's just another area where the government just can't leave the regular market alone. They've got to get their fingers into the pie everywhere. So, Jim, good luck on finding very little wrong with your car. I hope it's a small bill, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.